Coach.
Hey, pal.
How you doing?
How you doing? You
great.
All right?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
All right. All right, Kenny.
Everyone ready? Are the Bills ready?
I'm ready.
Ready? Yeah.
Hey everyone, I'm Chris Gasper. It's Friday, February 2nd, and this is Season Ticket from Super Bowl 52. We're here at the Mall of America on Radio Row. I'm joined by Boston Globe media columnist Chad Finn, and we're lucky enough to be joined today by NFL Films coordinating producer and the director of ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, The Two Bills, Ken Rogers. The Two Bills premiered on Thursday night on ESPN. Ken, how did it feel to finally have everybody be able to see this great documentary?
You know, it's like seeing a child born, I guess. You know it's coming, and you think it's going to be perfect. You hope everyone's going to like it, and then here it comes, and everybody oohs and ahs, and then the hard work begins, which is coming up with the next one. So, you know, like Coach Belichick, we're on to the next one, and it's great, and sure, and you can like it, you can not like it, but at NFL Films, we're much like the Patriots, on to the next one.
What's interesting to me about this documentary is whether you're a Patriots fan or a football fan, it doesn't really matter, because this is a story that's about mentorship, relationship, and a brotherhood-like bond, and it's really sort of a family story. I think a lot of people can relate to this, whether they know who Bill Belichick is or know who Bill Parcells is or not.
Yeah, I think Chad and I have talked about this, in that, you know, all of us have coworkers that we spend more time with than we do our, quote, real friends in the real world. And we tend to not think of these people as friends. We certainly don't go on vacation with them or, you know, put them in our wills or invite them to personal parties. But in many ways, they're closer to us than the people we think are close to us. And that's how guys are on football staffs. That's how teams are. That's why players and coaches miss the locker room. And that's how we are at NFL Films. I think that's how people are in the media. I think that's how people are in every role of society, is you have friendships. And so I think anyone will see these two in their relationship and get it.
We don't get to see a sentimental, nostalgic Belichick around here. Hardly ever. We see it when we're watching NFL Films. He has great reverence for what Steve Sable built there and Ed Sable built there. And you've been involved with a couple of these different documentaries with him. Do Your Job one, the Football Life one, two-part series there, and now this. How do you get that out of him? How do you get the real Bill Belichick rather than the guy we see up on the podium not wanting to say anything about anything?
You know, I can't take much credit myself. I think a lot does go to that relationship with Steve, in that they both didn't care for the BS that went around, you know, that was outside of their art form, football and filmmaking. What little credit I would take, if you call it that, would be that I never, ever pretend that I know anything when it comes to football. You know, I'll never agree with something and go, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Like, I'm just a filmmaker who wants to record his history, and I don't try to pretend to be on his level when it comes to naval history or football or, you know, what he was thinking in a game plan. People get in trouble when they pretend to know what he's thinking. And so I go into meetings and interviews with him on a very human level and try to forget who he is and his expertise and just say, look, he has no idea what I do as a filmmaker. And so he doesn't talk to me about edits and, you know, mixes and the things that we do. I'm not going to try to pretend to ask him about football schemes. And I just be humble that way. And I think when he gets angry at the press, sometimes it's because he sees it as them assuming that they know something about what he's thinking.
Ken, how did you get these two guys together? How did you get Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick together? And you were able to do that at MetLife Stadium, which obviously isn't the old Meadowlands, where they worked together on the Giants staff when Parcells was the head coach and Belichick was the defensive coordinator. But I think the most striking thing to me watching it is just seeing those two guys after all these years right next to each other in a football locker room.
You ask that like they're not, you know, amenable to doing stuff for the media and, you know, friendly to Like this would this was some extraordinary request. Look, we know what we had. As soon as they sat down, we're like, this is actually happening. You know, I mean, I think anyone in the media, you know, us sitting here at this table and anyone here in this industry would know what a big deal that is for those two to sit down. I'm not sure that fans will ever get that. You know, we sort of when it happened walked away and said, I don't know if the film will live up to the fact that we actually just got them in the same room. You know, like what do we do now? We have to make a film out of that? Like, who cares about the film? We got it done. They sat there. How it got done was really just asking them. Those two agreed to do it, which is one thing, and then they weren't about to clear their schedules to make it easy on us. You know, it's not like they said, sure, Ken, you pick the date and we'll be there. We'll whatever we're doing, we'll cancel it. So it was pretty much left as, yeah, we'll let you know when, and that's it. And if I never, you know, followed up, or NFL Films, Marianne Wimberly, our talent coordinator, never followed up, it never would have happened. We just had to keep saying, hey, what do you think about sometime this month? What about next month? And we would get calls where, you know, Belichick was down at the owners' meetings, and I saw him, and he said, oh, yeah, yeah, hey, I think Parcells is down here. How about tomorrow? You know, we would scramble, and Parcells was on a golf course and, you know, couldn't do it at a charity golf course. And we missed a couple times where one of them was available and one wasn't. And then it just happened this last June, and, you know, in May, Coach Belichick said, hey, I'm going to be driving through New Jersey. See if Bill wants to meet me, you know, at the Meadowlands. And thankfully, Parcells was, after 3 years, had a free day where he wasn't playing golf or working with his horses, and we finally got it done.
Did you have any sense in dealing with those two and trying to schedule it that there was a little bit of jockeying for the alpha male? Like, you do it on my schedule. No, you do it on my schedule.
I don't think so, but now that we're done and we did it at Giant Stadium, I find it hard to imagine now Belichick going to Saratoga on Parcells' turf or Parcells going to Nantucket on Belichick's turf. I think, I don't know if it was conscious or not, but it probably makes sense that they met in neutral territory.
In common ground. They met on common ground.
Yeah, in their common ground, too, where they had so much success.
What do you think their individual motivation is for doing this? Is it setting a legacy, thinking about their own legacies? Is it setting the record straight on one thing or another? Is it one of them trying to look like he's gracious? Why do you think Bill, both of these guys, sat down to do this?
I know for Belichick, he's in this mode where he's wanting to repay the people who helped him along the way. You can go on the internet and find this great piece we did earlier this year with he and his former coach in Detroit in 1977. And he called us earlier in the year and asked us to film him meeting his coach.
Coach Forzano.
Rick Forzano. And this piece that we did was just Bill Belichick's idea. He said, come and shoot me meeting my former coach. So I think he's in the mode where he wants to make sure that people who helped him along the way get recognition. And it was amazing to me in the documentary, sitting there in that room, to see Bill Belichick really give credit to Parcells the way he did. You know, you always think that he's this self-made genius who took things from various people but made it his own. He really gave a lot of credit for organizational philosophy to Parcells. When it comes to Parcells, you know, he's definitely in that phase of his life where football's in his past.
Right.
It's part of his legacy. And I think he really is like he's like a doting grandfather now, where he's seeing branches of his tree succeed.
He's definitely mellowed, Ken.
He's very mellow compared to what he used to be.
I've never seen that person before.
I think he's... you know, I don't want to speak for him, but it seemed to me like he was, you know, maybe aware of his mortality and the fact that, you know, football definitely is over this time. You know, you never know with Parcells. Who knows? You know, maybe one of these days the team's going to need somebody. And they'll call 80-year-old Parcells out of the bullpen. But, you know, I think he's accepted that football's in his past. And there's a... there was a lot of nostalgia on his part, especially at the end of the film when they started speaking about the past in these real glowing positive ways. It felt like a closure in a way where I almost felt like they were going to give up and hug each other and just say, like, that was great, you know, because it felt like the end, you know, it felt like the end of their chapter. It felt like Parcells was saying, I'm glad that you're carrying it on and you're almost done, so I'm glad that what you've done will be passed on to others. Because if you think about it, you think about, you know, McDaniels and Patricia and all those, they're Parcells guys, you know, by birthright. And that's just the way this tree is going to expand in future years.
There were two parts of the film that really sort of stood out to me, and I chuckled a little bit, and I want to ask you about them. One, I believe I'm remembering this correctly, you're asking them to recall and retell Bill Belichick resigning as HC of the NYJ, and you're asking them about it, and the camera went out. And they were pretty much like, this is a sign from above. Like, they were looking for an excuse to sort of get out of it.
I wanted to be the head coach. But other than that, from a personal standpoint, I didn't have any.
Hold on a second. My camera just went out.
So, Kenny, I think this really is symbolic of where this conversation's going right here. The camera drops out. Nobody really wants to hear about it. So this looks like the perfect segue to move on.
You know, what happened in that circumstance? And then I'll ask you about the second circumstance I thought was pretty interesting as well in the film.
Listen, things happen in television, in radio, in filmmaking. And that moment happened, and we thought it was hysterical in the moment. And when we started going through the footage, we realized that that was one of the realest moments that you've seen Belichick, just this side of Belichick that I tell everyone exists and no one believes me because they never see it, where he really is quick-witted and funny and sarcastic, and he literally has his tongue in his cheek when he says that. Like,
he was giving you a hard time.
Oh, yeah. No, he, there's no getting away easy with these guys, either one of them. And that's how they show that they like you, is that, you know, that's the Jersey Parcells
way. They bust chops, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they rip into me a little bit at that point, and that's okay. And so we decided to keep it because, to me, it was how Belichick feels about the Jets thing now. He knows that I have to ask those questions. He knows that he has to answer them in this film. Otherwise, the film doesn't work. But he also knows that he's going to give me crap about answering it. And so it felt perfect. It felt genuine, and I thought anything that showed a genuine side of him was something we needed to include.
The other instance I want to ask you about was, much like I think Belichick was conciliatory about the whole resigning as head coach of the Jets thing and the way it went down, I thought that Parcells was sort of wistful about what happened with the Patriots, and there's an interesting point there where he says, you know, if I had handled that better, I'm paraphrasing, if I had handled that better, I feel like I could have had the success that you had. And he turns to Belichick and they say, well, maybe not quite what you had.
If I had just been a little bit smarter about it and a little bit more diplomatic, I think it probably would have worked out, much like maybe not to the extent that it did for Bill. But
I feel like Parcells only said that, the not quite what you had, because Belichick was sitting across from him. I think he really believes he could have had the same success, the five Super Bowls, if he'd handled that differently.
Well, that is very observant on your part. That was a moment we really liked. We thought it showed exactly what you say. I'm not sure what he was thinking at that moment, but you can certainly interpret different things of, hey, does he think? And is he right? It makes you think as a viewer, like, hey, would Parcells have been Belichick if he stuck out the next 20 years as Patriots head coach from, you know, 93 on? That's a good question. You know, so I think it was interesting to see that moment and Parcells still have a little bit of the old ego left and say, it might have been as good as Belichick.
It was almost like for a second he forgot Bill was there and then suddenly he realized, oh, wait, this guy's right across from me. He's right next to me.
One of the things that kind of got me, Ken, was that there are a lot of ex-players who played for both of them or know both of them well were kind of the chorus in this thing and talking about them, and they still don't know what to make of the relationship.
They were not what you call true friends.
As far as I know, I think they're friends.
It's more friendly than it is friends.
They lost their friendship for quite some time.
I definitely see them as the best frenemies.
That must have been kind of amusing to talk to these guys and see that they had, with all their history with them, as little of a read on it as we do on what their relationship really was.
I'm not sure I have a read on it yet, honestly. And when I first asked Coach Belichick about doing this film, I told him, you know, one of the things I want to find out is what your relationship is. Were you like big brother, little brother? Were you friends? Were you coworkers? And I still remember he said to me, I don't think Bill and I could tell you what our relationship is. And I think that's complicated in the way that real life is. That is, I can tell you, I can understand what their relationship is after seeing the film and making the film, but I'm not sure I can explain it, if that makes sense.
I thought you did a great job in the film of explaining it, so it's interesting to hear you say that.
It's what life is. It's hard to explain. It just is. There's so many layers that it can't be put into a sentence. I think the players feel that way. I bet they feel that way. And one thing I've thought since the film's been completed, and it's just recently I realized this, is the reason why this room had this energy in it when they were there is that I think even though they reconnected in 2005, this was the first time they talked about all this. You know, they probably, knowing them, just moved on and talked about players and schemes and what's going on in the NFL. And this was the only time since all that went down that they actually addressed it. Because you can see them looking at each other in the film, wondering what the other one's going to say. And it's amazing to realize that they're working their relationship out in this interview that we did. And this film becomes like a therapy session between the two of them. And by the end, you can feel like it's all healed. And the final scene of where I asked them to, you know, go to the Jets locker room, to me feels like the end of the therapy session. And it's almost like a test where I say, hey, do you want to revisit those old wounds? And they both physically refuse to go back. They don't want to go back there. Emotionally, physically, they're done with it. And they bond together against me again and say, nope, we're done. Where's the elevator? We're out of here.
You know where I think he wants to take us is the Jets locker room.
You go what?
The Jets, you know, because of our connection with the Jets. Not the Jets locker
room. You're not going in there.
Yeah, what do you mean you're not going?
No, I'm not going in.
You won't go in there? Why?
No, I don't want to go in there. What's the point? Let's just
end on a high note?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's good. Why don't you do that? Where's the elevator?
And they leave. They say, forget it. And they leave they're done. And our day with them was done then because they didn't want to continue. And to me, that was pretty symbolic that the therapy worked and that they worked it all out and they walked off into the sunset.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, we'll have more with Ken Rogers, the director of the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, The Two Bills. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. If you like Season Tickets, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, we are back here with Ken Rogers and Chad Finn discussing the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, The Two Bills. I wanted to ask you this because the one thing that comes through when you sort of start reviewing the early days of Parcells and Belichick with the Giants and Bill Parcells giving some opportunities to Bill Belichick, there's something that struck me and that stuck in my mind, and that was Parcells might be the greatest motivator of all time. And the same way he pushed the buttons of Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor, he pushed the buttons of Bill Belichick. And as much as Belichick has this, you know, preternatural sort of idea that he's going to be this great coach, I'm not sure that Belichick would be Belichick without Parcells pushing him to a level that I'm not even sure he realized he could reach.
I think that's true, and I think that's probably how he treats his assistant coaches now and probably how he treats his players. You hear all these stories, and I've seen firsthand how he, you know, treats Tom Brady the same as he treats everyone else in the room. I think that's probably something we'll hear 20 years from now, Tom Brady saying, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good, and then Bill Belichick made me, you know, push my button and made me feel like I was just on the same level as everyone else. I think he learned that from Parcells. You know, Parcells had this innate ability to find everyone's weakness and everyone's strengths and use both to get the best out of a player. And the carrot and the stick thing that Parcells was just so good at, you know, I don't think that Belichick's as good at that as Parcells is. I don't think anyone maybe in NFL history could manage personalities as well as Parcells. But without that, without seeing that, without being around it, I'm not sure that Belichick could have managed this, you know, reign of Patriots success for as long as he has, because it's not about short-term success, X's and O's, which he's always had the ability to do. It's about the sustainability of personalities and direction of an organizational philosophy long-term, which Parcells has proven over and over coming into franchises and rebuilding them that he's the best at.
The film does kind of remind you, too, that Parcells saw it in Belichick before anybody else did. He hired him with the Giants. He was talking to him at Air Force, I believe. And he, you know, he'd been with the Lions a little bit, been with the Broncos, but hadn't developed that reputation yet. Do you believe Parcells really looked at Belichick and said, this guy is going to be an absolute asset for my staff for a long time?
Yeah, I don't think that he would have kept him around that long. There's very few coaching staffs that stay as close as the Parcells family did for as long as they did. There's a lot of questions that go around about would Parcells have won Super Bowls without Belichick? And along with that question, you have to ask, would Belichick have ever come close to being Belichick if Parcells hadn't recognized who he was as a special teams coach and let him come up and start learning under him the defense? You know, it's not like Belichick was brand new in the NFL. He had spent 4 years in the NFL, 5, 6 by time 81, 82 came around. This kid was in the NFL for a while. He wasn't really going anywhere. He hadn't been, you know, plucked as this super young genius until Bill Parcells took him under his wing and said, hey, you know, you're my main guy, and entrusted him. And you see that early in the film where the players don't really believe that this kid is going to be anyone. You know, he looks like he plays ping pong is what Lawrence Taylor says. And you can see that in the photos, especially the 1980 photo with where Belichick has a mustache. We had to put that in.
yeah, that was great. It was great. We thank you for that, Ken.
Yeah, sure. But I think if you want to ask would Parcells have won without Belichick, you have to ask would Belichick be who he is without Parcells. And I think the answer to both is no. They needed each other. I mean, that's what this game is. That's what football is. It's a team sport. It's that staff together wins together. You know, would they have won without Lawrence Taylor? I don't know. It goes to today. Would Bill Belichick win without Tom Brady? Who knows? Who cares? They win together. That's what the point of the sport is.
I think one thing that Patriots fans will love about this documentary is basically the Jets get treated as a doormat here. They don't want to go in the Jets locker room, which you mentioned. And I had completely forgotten the idea that Belichick was head coach of the Jets temporarily twice. So it's really interesting if you're a Jets fan to see that you had both these guys. Bill Belichick, you could have had him twice and you never got him at all to coach a single game, and they don't want to go anywhere near your locker room.
You know, it's funny, you know, Giants fans are going to love this film. Patriots fans are going to love the film. Jets fans, I think, will think they love the film because they, you know, they had Parcells for a while, but there's some painful moments in there when they realize that not once, but twice, Bill Belichick was their head coach, and he never coached a game. It's easy to point to the resignation and say, oh, that guy left us. But, you know, that explanation becomes much more reasonable as history goes on, and you see that how important ownership and how, you know, the stability of Robert Kraft compared to no ownership in place at all at the time with the Jets. And then you have Curtis Martin in the film who says, I really believe we, the Jets, at the end of the, you know, 98 season, certainly 98 season when they went to the AFC Championship, could have been what the Patriots are today. We could have been that type of team. And when you hear Curtis Martin say that, you're like, oh, but you're not. You know, what a painful thing to hear.
Yeah, it's a kick in the teeth for Jets fans. No question about it.
From a great Jet, you know.
It seems like there's a little bit of revised history there with the Jets, though. One of the real revelations in this was that Belichick was lucid during that press conference. Jets have sort of portrayed this.
Oh, and Steve Gutman, yeah.
Immediately afterwards, like, what was that, A Man in Turmoil or something like that. Belichick was as good in a press conference as I've ever seen him when he resigned, I guess, the second time from the Jets.
Until Monday morning, when he made me aware that this was the final decision and not 80%, 90%, 83%, 77%, okay, that this was it, okay? And it had gone as high as 99, but I've seen it back off and then come back again. Until it was, this is what I'm going to do, then that's really when I started to think, okay, well, now that means this is what I got to do.
That's true. And if you go back to the Raw tape, it's like a 20-minute press conference, and it's actually even more lucid. It's a little complicated because you can't actually tell exactly what's going on. But Belichick has this, reputation about that press conference that he was surly and confused and emotional and short with the media. He stayed for 20 minutes, and the most surprising part to me is there's a moment where he takes 2 or 3 minutes and says, listen, I know I've been a little unavailable the last, couple weeks, but if anyone needs to talk to me for follow-up questions, anyone in the media, I'll do a radio show, I'll do television, I'm available to talk to anyone in the media, I'm here for you to answer your questions. And we didn't make the film, but because it didn't relate to the two Bills. But I thought, wow, if you wanted to go back, the memory of Bill Belichick's resignation is pretty different than what the reality was in historical terms when you look back at it.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me there is it's like Bill Belichick learned how to extricate himself from a situation from the very best, Bill Parcells, and he's turning it around and using it on Parcells to extricate himself from that Jet situation. And I think when you look at sort of the genesis of the rift between them, I wonder if it's not just Bill declining to be head coach of the Jets, but when he says in that press conference, he sort of paints Parcells as the Brett Favre of NFL coaches. Like, I've heard a million times that he's going to step down. He's going to step down this year and that year. And he sort of aired a little dirty laundry publicly to justify going out the door.
Yeah, and everyone knew in the media and otherwise that was Parcells. Every year it was, I'm too old for this, can't do it. And that was because Coach Parcells invested his emotions into the game more than maybe any coach as well. So he always felt like this was the end and Belichick's going to take over next year, and then Belichick wouldn't take over. So, I don't think it was consciously payback, but there was many years there where I think Belichick thought, my time is coming, and then it didn't. So I think he probably reached a point where he said, I have to take care of what's best for me. And Parcells was taking care of what's best for him and the Jets. And Belichick took care of what was best for him. And that caused a, 5-6 year rift. And I think Belichick made the right decision. Kraft made the right decision. And it all worked out for them. And in hindsight, Parcells was right. He was right to try to fight to keep Belichick with the Jets, because look what he turned out to be, and he was right to try to keep him.
Last one for you here, Ken. So there was a rift. Now these guys have reconciled. There's a great part in the film where you're asking them, do you guys love each other? And there's some sort of hesitation there. What was that like in the room? And do you believe, you were in the room, do you believe that they do love each other, that is the correct word to describe that relationship?
Everyone asked me, are you really going to ask that question? Because it was on my interview list, and fellow producers at NFL Films were like, you're not really going to ask them if they love each other. I mean, you're nuts. That's stupid. they're never going to work with us again. But I had to. My answer is, of course they do. It's a type of unspoken love that you do have for close coworkers. And I've thought about it a lot, and we've actually talked at NFL Films, producers and I, who I work closely with on this film, on other films, on shows that I produce, like Hard Knocks. We go through these really intense situations together. Sometimes we win awards, sometimes we lose. So there's peaks and valleys. It's sort of like the locker room of an NFL game. I think I love those guys and girls that I work with. It's hard to say, because you don't say you love coworkers, you know, but I don't know that it's just like. I think there is love there. And we don't talk about that in society much, about how there's love for coworkers. But I think that these two do love each other. It's not really part of the language of the NFL locker room. Maybe not part of the language of Belichick and Parcells' relationship in particular, but I think they do, and I think they know they do. And instead of saying no, they pass it off in a way that makes it clear that they do. They're just not going to say it in front of the camera.
Yeah, they just did not want to say that. Well, this has been a great discussion with you guys, joined here by Chad Finn, Boston Globe media columnist, and obviously Ken Rogers, NFL Films coordinating producer and the director of the fantastic ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, The Two Bills. Ken, we thank you for the film, and we thank you for joining us here on Season Ticket.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
That's going to do it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Chris Gasper. We're going to be back tomorrow. That's right, we're going to have a special Saturday show, a show we're going to do the day before Super Bowl 52. So you're going to want to make sure you check back with us for that.